Hi, this is Beth Jones Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for business women who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. And as you listen, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, please just pass it along to them. Well, summer is in full swing. Yesterday was officially the first day of summer. And I know many of you are probably headed out on your summer vacation. I'm wondering, do you still vacation in the summer? A lot of people vacation different times around the year. Used to be summer was the time. And I still think it is. The weather, though, here is so nice in the Pittsburgh area in the summer that we don't think of leaving when it's actually nice in the summer. We think, nah, let's go in the winter when the weather's not so nice. We definitely, though, when we were kids, we definitely took summer vacations because, again, that was kind of how it was. And being raised by two educators meant that our summer vacations were more like field trips than carefree vacations. We went to historical sites instead of theme parks, and the only pools we saw were from the puddles of rain that we inevitably would run into at some point. On a few vacations, we did get to go see the ocean in Virginia Beach, but only after we had visited several historical sites along the way. And though I remember my brothers and I would grumble about all the battlefield sites and all the museums we had to endure, oh, I am now so very grateful for every penny my parents spent and every minute in our hot, non-air-conditioned station wagon over the years. One place we visited several times on vacation was Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia. Have you visited there? You know, even as a kid, I absolutely loved walking through the original buildings from our nation's early days and listening to the tour guides. They would be all dressed up in the clothing of the 18th century, looking just like they walked out of 1776. I thought that would be a wonderful job to have. And I even dreamt about becoming a Colonial Williamsburg tour guide someday. I learned that there were different types of tour guides there. There were the licensed tour guides who took groups around the town, but they were not official Colonial Williamsburg people. Then there were the docents. I just loved that word. It sounded so authentic and colonial. The docents knew all the history and were so gracious and well-spoken. I thought I would like to be a docent until I discovered docents were volunteers. And I realized that wouldn't pay the bills. Then I discovered that they had historic interpreters. They were the official Colonial Williamsburg paid staff who dressed in 18th century attire and who knew every little detail about colonial days. Oh, I had finally found my place, I thought. Except that the job would be in Virginia, and we lived in Ohio, and when you're just 10 years old, that kind of seals your fate. But hey, a girl can dream. Well, as we continue our journey that we've been taking through Dr. David Jeremiah's book, The Promise of Heaven, we get to have a tour of heaven, and the Apostle John gets to be our guide, our docent, if you will. The Lord gave John a vision of the New Jerusalem, which John recorded for us in Revelation. And John shares five tour stops of the New Jerusalem with us in this next chapter. The first stop he takes us to is, well, the streets. We've heard so much about the streets of gold. Well, indeed, John tells us that the streets of gold are so pure, they seem transparent. John writes this in Revelation 21:21. He writes, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, and the great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. Can you imagine? Gold so pure, it seemed transparent. Well, one day we'll get to see that. We'll walk those streets. And then the second stop on the tour John takes us to is the light. And John tells us that Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, will be the source of all the light that we will ever need in heaven. No more fussing over what kind of light bulb we get to use. We don't need all that fussing. The Lamb will be the light. John writes in Revelation 21:23, he writes, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Oh, I love that. Won't need to worry about light at all. Actually, Dr. Jeremiah writes this in his book on page 75. He writes, there will be no lampposts in New Jerusalem. No lampposts, no lanterns, no floodlights or flashlights or table lights. A constant presence of brilliant light will emanate throughout the city from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The brilliance of that light will beam forth from the Lord Jesus in his glorification, and it will fill the city with radiance. The light. Oh, that's going to be unmistakable. And then our third stop is, well, it's at the river. Most cities around the world and in our country grew up near a water source because access to water and from the earliest days was needed for drinking and cooking and bathing and growing food and watering animals and, well, for transportation also in the earliest of days. The claim to fame of the city that we now live near, which is Pittsburgh, is that it sits on not just one, but on three rivers, because having a water source is absolutely essential to life. Well, John tells us in Revelation 22:1, he writes, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Oh, river clear as crystal. Our author, Dr. Jeremiah, writes this on page 76 at the bottom about the river. He says, if you visit the city of Jerusalem right now, you'll be visiting one of the few great world cities without a river. But one day, the new city of Jerusalem, the heavenly Zion, will have a river of waters that are clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. It will be the most beautiful river ever created in time or eternity. Oh, river of water flowing with clear crystal water. Most beautiful we've ever seen. I mean, think about some of the rivers that you've seen when you've traveled around the country, some of the beautiful flowing rivers. It'll be nothing compared to what we will see in the New Jerusalem. Well, that's the third stop, is the river. The fourth stop is at the tree. The tree became a source of pain for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But on our tour of heaven, John tells us about a new tree that will bear fruit every single month, and it will be a source of healing. In Revelation 22:2, John writes this, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So the tree will give us sustenance, but also healing. God planned it that way. And we will see that. And it will be what sustains us and also heals us. Well, the last stop on our tour is the throne. It is in the center of it all, the throne of God. Dr. Jeremiah reminds us of the various references in scripture of the throne of God. And I love the way Isaiah records his vision of the throne. In Isaiah 6:1, you remember when Isaiah writes that he saw the Lord seated on his throne, exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And the angels were flying around the throne, crying out, holy, holy, holy. Can you even imagine what that will be like? It's just beyond our ability to even conceive. But John tells us he saw it, and we will. He writes in Revelation 4, verses 2 and 3. John writes, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Can you even? Oh, one day we will. We will see that. Well, our tour of heaven ends there for now, with a vision of the street, the light, the river, the tree, and the throne. And because we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, his blood washes us clean of all our sins, so that one day we will see all that we have read about. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. John writes this. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. He writes, he who overcomes will inherit all this. And I, God, will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. No, those who overcome, that's what we focus on. Those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior are those who overcome and will inherit all that the New Jerusalem has for us. Praise God for the washing of the blood of the Lamb that has made it such that we will inherit all of this. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from the Lord today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this, please just pass it along to them. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.